We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you very much. Allow me to present four musically minded folk. John Amos, beside him Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and beside him Dennis Norton. Call on John Amos to start us off. John, Plutarch once said that music, to create harmony, must investigate discord. Let us investigate some music that most people, I think, would find discordant. Question, who composed it? Shall I give you a hint? Born in Germany in 1928.
What about Karl-Heinz Stockhausen?
Stockhausen is right. His, and if I pronounce it correctly, Mikrofonie 2.
I already blew the story about Beecham, didn't I?
I don't know.
About somebody said to Beecham, have you ever conducted any Stockhausen? And he said, no, but I once trod in some.
I don't think you had favoured us with that. No. We would have remembered, wouldn't we, if he had? Frank, change of subject. This Prime Minister played excellent piano, considering.
Is it Chopin?
Yes.
It's presumably Paderewski.
That's right. Who was Prime Minister?
Of Poland.
Yes. Poland.
In my time, too.
Just about. Yes, he was one of the signatories of the Versailles Treaty signed on behalf of Poland.
You know, in his old age, he got very, very forgetful. Mm. And what should have been his last concert, he didn't turn up at the hall, and they went to his hotel and said, Mr. Paderewski, your concert. He said, I've given it. And they couldn't persuade him that he hadn't.
Yes. Really?
Yes.
He died in 1941. That record was made in 1937. And I noticed, and piano players will have noticed, that in every single bar he played the bass note before the treble note.
Gadoing,
gadoing. Yes, gadoing, da da brium, ba da da dum dum brium, da 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 brium. Anyway, that's Jan Paderewski. Great man in his day. 2 marks to Frank. Move on to Ian Wallace. Ian, a great cellist here, playing music by perhaps his closest friend, though they were born 14 years apart and 1,500 miles apart.
Well, you've given me some very good clues, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes.
I would say that this is, and I could easily pronounce this wrong, Rostropovich.
Or even Rostropovich.
Yes, well, I'm never absolutely sure. And Benjamin Britten.
Yes, music by Benjamin Britten, symphony for cello and orchestra. Yes. Rostropovich tells a story about his father, who apparently played in the Moscow Radio Orchestra. They were playing Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony once, and through some sort of power failure, all the lights went out in the studio. And the orchestra, instead of sort of tottering instantly to a conclusion, managed to keep a few bars going, and then gathering confidence, playing on this live broadcast, in total darkness, they managed to play, because they were all good Russian musicians, they managed to finish the whole of Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony in total darkness. And then just as they ended, the red light went off, so they weren't on the air anymore, and then all the lights came on, and they fell to congratulating each other and saying, oh, marvellous, 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 until they noticed that the conductor was sitting there with his head in his hands because he realised that they could do without him.
I hope the lights don't go out and we carry on without the question, Martin.
I hope not, too. Yes.
I know, I'm afraid, no story about Rostropovich at all, but more about Paderewski, and it's a slightly similar thing to what you were saying of a concert that he did remember to come to, and he had apparently a habit of wandering about among the public outside before he came in. Most artists, I think, find that absolutely terrifying. One rather would arrive so that one is confronted with the full horror when you first go out on the platform. You don't like to see people pounding and you think they're paying all that money and are they going to get anything worthwhile? But he liked to do this, and he was recognized by a lady outside the hall, and she went up to him, and despite doing this, he used to get very nervous, apparently, and she went up to him and said, "Oh, Mr. Paderewski, you know, I simply can't get a ticket for your concert. Is there anything you can do?" And he looked at her and he said, "Madam, you can have mine."
The only thing I remember about Paderewski was his hairstyle was inspired by an exploding horsehair sofa.
Dennis, we've heard Rostropovich playing music by Britain, from Russia and England.
We're now going to lower the cultural tone.
Well,
about
not
5 points. Yeah.
Not by more than a whisker. These two, though, were born in different countries.
Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, I smile, but she doesn't see.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, bela menina que vem, que passa, dos balanços.
How about two full names? Starting with Francis.
I'll give you the full name of the place where Francis was born, which was Hoboken, New Jersey.
Yes. Francis Albert.
Francis Albert Sinatra,
yes.
And Carlos Antonio,
yeah.
Carlos Joabim.
Joabim.
Yes,
if that's how it's pronounced. Yes, I think so. And now some miscellaneous questions about music. John, if Lanya was the first and Parrot the 14th, who became the 19th?
I would hazard a guess, Malcolm Williamson.
Because?
They are master of the Queen's or the King's music.
Absolutely right. One out of one. I left out some of the better known ones, didn't I? Like Walford Davis and Bax and so on. Frank, what can you tell me?
Ignorance is bliss.
Frank, what can you tell me about Tsar Kolokol? Judging by your expression,
it's
not
very difficult to spell.
K O L O K O L.
It's lock a lock.
Lock a lock.
In what connection? Can we home in a bit?
Well, Steve? I mean, Tsar would suggest a Russian connection, wouldn't it?
Well, not the way you pronounced it, but I do see the point.
Never tires.
C-Z-A-R. I always thought you spelled it Tsar.
You have...
Tsar Kolokol. Presumably he wasn't a Tsar.
No, it's a thing, not a he.
It's
actually.
A thing.
And you have been
Can
near,
I barter?
You have been near it.
Is it the correct bell?
Ah! Oh. Marvellous. Marvellous.
I've got a picture. Myself, my wife and I.
There you are, you see.
Like a couple of yeti. In the furry things, shivering. Yes, it's a crack bell. There's a fire and
yes,
it fell down.
Why not a
bang,
you? It means that Kolokol means the king of bells. It's the world's largest bell, cast in 1733, intended for the Kremlin, but cracked in a fire and stored in the Kremlin today so that Mr. and Mrs. Muir can be photographed beside it. Ian, five musicians, William Byrd, Reginald Goodall, Gilbert Vinter, Neville Mariner, and me.
Ah.
What have we in common, apart from a modicum of genius?
Well, you've taken the words out of my mouth, of course. Well, two of them, alas, are dead, so it can't be that.
Yes.
Which two?
Three of them are still with us, including Mr. Race.
Would you like me to give you a hint on the pianoforte? Well?
Yes, well, I know that you are a Lincoln man.
That's right.
Presumably the others were as well.
All of us born in Lincoln. William Byrd, Reginald Goodall, Gilbert Vinter, Neville Mariner, me, lots and lots of other people. All born in the city of Lincoln, actually. Well, Bird, we don't know for sure. Bird was organist at Lincoln Cathedral, but we think he was born in Lincoln, the city.
Well, he's Lincoln by adoption.
Yes, indeed. That's right.
I thought you were Mongolia. Well, it was the pullovers.
Dennis, your turn. What begins in a bright golden haze and ends in a stately reprise? Not forgetting the exclamation mark on the end.
I should think practically any physical relationship. bright golden haze must be on the meadow.
Yes. And stately reprise, exclamation mark.
Well, is it stately? Yes, at the end, they whisper it a bit.
Oklahoma. Well,
yes,
it's a state, Oklahoma. That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes, it's the crossword puzzle form that you're adopting.
Right. Yes, it's cryptic, that's me, cryptic race. I came across an article, John, in a magazine about accompanists. The article was written by Graham Johnson. He says that lady accompanists are especially put upon. He suggests that they should show protest by burning their Brahms. It's that kind of an article. He also coins rather a nice name for accompanists. He calls them volti subito musical mercenaries, which is rather super. John, what does volti subito mean, and why is it so appropriate to accompanists?
It means turn quick.
Literally, whip the page over and keep on playing at all costs. That's right. Yes.
I'm sorry, but I've got a story about Rostropovich.
Go ahead.
A friend of mine was turning over the pages for him for a recital at Rose Hill up in Cumberland. And Rostropovich likes to josh this friend. And the second half, they were doing Mussorgsky's songs and Dances of Death, which is quite a big, serious number. And before going on, he put the music under his right armpit, and my friend Anthony said, "Can I have the music?" He said, no, it's about to fall to bits. I'll put it on. So he kept it right there until put it suddenly onto the music stand, like that, and played the first chord. My friend then saw it wasn't Mussorgsky, it was a duet from Trovatore. Rostropovich knew the whole damn thing by heart. I was just taking a mick out of my friend. And my friend thought, well, that's all right. All of a sudden, he got a tremendous dig in the ribs from Rostropovich, as much as to say, come on, turn the pages. So for the rest of this song cycle, which is 20 minutes, half an hour, he had to sort of choose the moment and then... V.S., when required.
Volti subito, yes. Frank, we accompanists get...
Rostropovich.
The only story I know about Rostropovich, he once went into a bookshop in Omsk and said to the girl, "Do you keep stationery?" And she said, "No, I shift around a bit." I think Rostropovich jokes could replace Irish jokes.
Polish jokes.
Yes, that's right. Frank, I insist on going on with the game, if you don't mind.
Go on, then.
We talk about accompanists, and we accompanists get used to playing anything but the tune. When I am playing this, which I'm about to play you, what is the singer singing? That's my part. What's the singer's part?
Hang on. There's a kind of... spirit coming from the audience.
Not loud enough, though, is it?
What was it?
I can see a tie looming at the end of this program, can't you?
Thank you very much.
Yes. Ian, when the accompanist is playing this, what is being sung? Yes.
I don't think I'm going to do that again in a hurry.
Music by Schubert, yes.
I used to work in a gramophone shop, and an American boy came in one day and said, "Have you got your Hotch Hotch de Lerch?"
Hark, the lark. Dennis, do you happen to know where the words come from? Hark, hark, the lark?
No.
Hark, yes. Hark, the lark at Heaven Gates. Begins to rise. That is Keats or Shelley.
No,
or
try a playwright born in Stratford-on-Avon.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. No.
Anybody know which play in the audience? No. Cymbeline. Keats is Cymbeline.
Keats is Cymbeline.
Shakespeare's Cymbeline. Dennis, your question. Here's an accompaniment for you to identify.
Prince, I would sing Fly Me to the Moon against that. Most people would sing Barcarolle. Did you know that Rostropovich was the was the only person to walk out of the great big American hit chorus line? Because apparently he left halfway through because in the middle, during the intermission, he looked at the program and it said, Act Two, the same as Act One. We're building up a file on Rusty.
Yes, quite a file, yes. Among the unexpected good things that have happened in British music over the past years, I think I would number these lady duettists.
We'll gather lilacs in the spring again and walk together on an English lane until our hearts have learned to sing again. Then you'll come home.
John, leaving the question of who they are for Frank to answer, can you tell me which song they are about to perform here?
Little Gypsy. Once upon a time, many years ago, lived a fair princess, hating to confess, loneliness was torturing her soul. Then a gypsy came, called to her by name, wooed her with a song, sensuous and strong, all the summer long.
I know how it feels to be the accompanist there.
Zigeuner
from which show by Noel Coward?
Noel Coward Operetta.
No, Bittersweet.
Bittersweet.
Yes, one mark. To you, Frank.
Little me, Frank.
Who are they? Can you manage their full names and titles even? Well, who are they anyway? Doctor, that's right.
Doctor Evadne Hinge, surely.
Yes.
And Dame Hilda Beckett.
Got it. Exactly. You're right. Hinge and Brackett for short, actually George Logan and Patrick Fife. Ian, listen for a hint and then tell me which role are they discussing here?
I will never know to this day, dear, how you coped. But you did. You were a real old pro.
Thank
you. A trooper, dear. A trooper. That too, dear. But of course, you know, I sang it very little after that until I was abroad. Overseas. 18 Mabels in 6 days, you know. I think that must be a record. You certainly couldn't do that today, could you, dear? I wasn't thinking of doing it today.
Just as well, just as well. 18 Mabels, did you get it?
Yeah. Yes, well, Mabel is the clue, because it must be Pirates of Penzance,
yes.
And therefore that splendid piece, Poor Wandering One.
Yes. You get the bar. Dennis, Hinge and Brackett like to recall the occasion when they entertained the troops back in 1954.
I never sort of a kind of a happy rush to meet a day, and my feet takes them a week to meet my heart. I would get me, I would need me, even half a minute day. Haven't time to hesitate, I'm ready to start.
Gangway.
That's the question, yes. Which Jesse Matthews song have you got?
Yes, actually, what's her name? Florence Desmond used to do a very merciless version of that as well.
Yes, Jesse Matthews' song.
Gangway.
Four places figure in our closing round this week. A village in North Humberside, a doss house under Charing Cross, a city on the Mississippi Delta, and a stretch of the Thames which is downriver from here. All very intriguing. John, Hawkstow Grange, near Barton-on-Humber. Percy Grange, I think, must have been rooting about there, perhaps after he left Brigg Fair. Hawkstow?
Yes, a tale of John Bowling and Steely Span.
Yes.
In Hawkstow Grange there lived an old miser. You all do know him, as I've heard say. It's him and his man that was named John Bowling. They fell out one market day. Pity them who see him suffer. Pity poor old Steel-Eye Span. John Bowling's deeds, they will be remembered. Bowling's deeds at Hawkstow Grange. With a blackthorn stick, he, old Steel-Eye, struck him, often said threatened him afore. John Bowling turned round all in a passion. He knocked old Steel-Eye into the floor. Pity them who see him suffer. Pity poor old Steel-Eye Span. John Bowling's deeds, they will be remembered. Bowling's deeds at Hawkstow Grange.
Frank, under the railway lines at Charing Cross, wouldn't be my idea of a good place to sleep, but songwriters can make anything sound attractive.
Bud Flanagan.
Yes?
You know that the producer, in fact the co-devisor of this programme, Tony Shryan, is also the producer of the farming everyday story of country folk, which has been running for, must be pushing 30 years now.
The Rostropovich.
I'd like to, exactly. And I'd like to dedicate this number to him. Underneath the arches. Underneath the arches, I dream my dreams, I'm white. Underneath the arches, on cobblestones I lay. That is where you'll find me, tired out and worn. Happy when the daylight comes peeping, heralding the dawn, sleeping when it's raining, and sleeping, well, it's fine. Trains rattling by above, pavement for my pillow. No matter where I stroll, underneath the arches, I dream my dreams away.
Dennis. Yes. Tell us what it means to miss New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, take it slow, won't you?
Same key.
I know, God, I should be down there.
Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans and miss it each night and day? I know I'm not wrong. The feeling's getting stronger the longer I stay away. And the moss-covered vines, the tall sugar pines where mockingbirds used to sing. And I'd like to see the lazy Mississippi a-hurrying into spring. You know why they call this a haunting tune? Because I just murdered it.
Won't allow that. Ian, this was a request from a regular radio listener of ours, and I know you like the song too. Michael Head's Limehouse Reach. It's a beauty. First and third verses, I think, if you wouldn't mind omitting the second. Okay?
I don't mind at all. Really.
I fell in love with a limehouse lass, but she is proved untrue. She looked as fresh as a figurehead that's just been painted new. But she's took and married a lighterman, and it's time for us to go. But I would have loved you so, my dear, I would have loved you so. And a long goodbye to Lima's Reach, and a last goodbye to you. A fella's a fool to die for love, which I don't mean to do. There are girls as smart in every port from here to Callao. But I would have loved you so, my dear. I would have loved you so.
And that's all for this week. Sharing the victory, John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. A tie.
Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreier.